One announcement that we did not make, we're going to make it now because it's going to come right into our sermon, is that on Christmas we have three masses we can offer. The first will be here at midnight, and then the second will be in Omaha at 8 o'clock. But there will be no 10 o'clock mass like we have on Sundays. We'll be going to Topeka, Kansas for our third mass. And we want to just share with you that how wonderful it is when we celebrate the birthday of Jesus, that we offer, priests have the privilege of offering three masses. Ordinarily, a priest can only offer one mass a day. On Sundays, we offer as many masses as necessary. So ordinarily, we have an 8 and a 10 mass here. Go down to Topeka for a third mass. But regardless of the amount of people, all priests can offer three masses. And why is that? It's because we celebrate the three births of Christ. Jesus is true God, and he's true man. Jesus is the Son of God, begotten of the Father, from all eternity. And we recite, when I leave the pulpit and I go back to the altar, we recite what's called the Nicene Creed, which was put together in 325 A.D. at the Council. This creed says that Jesus is God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father. And this is the beautiful, beautiful doctrine of the Holy Trinity. There's one God in three divine persons. God the Son is begotten of the Father from all eternity. So we celebrate that event in all eternity, the begetting of God the Son. But we also know, as we read in Scripture, at the end of the Mass, we recite the first gospel, first chapter of St. John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. Jesus, the Son of God, came down from heaven, and he became like unto us, to be our Redeemer, to suffer and die to redeem us from our sins. So our second Mass we offer is to remember that beautiful event 2,025 years ago, the birth of Christ in his human nature in the stable of Bethlehem. And the third Mass is to celebrate Christ's birth in our hearts and souls. St. Paul, the Apostle, says, I live now, not I, but Christ lives in me. By God's grace, we are followers of Christ, and Christ dwells within us. And how important it is, as we think about this, we read this also in the last gospel. Our Lord came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. That is the wonderful thing, that Christ has come, that we might have life, the life of God, the life of sanctifying grace in our soul. That is our ticket to heaven. We need to be in a state of sanctifying grace. And we get that through baptism. And if we have the misfortune of losing God's life and sanctifying grace, that's why Christ instituted the sacrament of penance. When he told his apostles, receive the Holy Ghost, whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. So Christ, our Lord, has three births. His birth from eternity, from the Father, as God. His birth in time as the Son of Mary, the Blessed Virgin, and his human nature, and his spiritual birth in our hearts. You know, I'd like to bring to mind something that's very important. When we think of this time before we celebrate Christmas, we think about how God, in his providence, God knows all things. He knows the past, present, and future. And God had inspired holy men, the prophets, to speak about the birth of Christ. And as we mentioned, the prophet Micaeus, he identified the exact location where the Messiah, where the Christ, the Son of God, was to be born, in Bethlehem. Nevertheless, Mary, the Virgin Mary, was in Nazareth, betrothed to St. Joseph. How was this to take place, that Christ would be born in Bethlehem? Well, Caesar Augustus, he decreed a census throughout all the Roman Empire. Everyone had to return to the place of origin to enroll in that census. And Joseph and Mary, being of the house of David, they had to go back to Bethlehem. Now, we might think of this as, you know, oh, there's something random, but no, absolutely not random at all. God knew that Caesar Augustus would make the census, and Joseph and Mary would travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. He knew that ahead of time. Was it by accident? And thus prophecy was fulfilled. You know, our Blessed Mother was about to have child, and to travel 70 miles, not a small task. 70 miles for us, we get in our car, turn on the heater, and take off, and we're there in about an hour, 15, hour and a half, you know, no big deal. But they had to travel on rough roads, inclement weather, 70 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. But you know what this teaches us? It teaches us that Joseph and Mary, these very dear souls to God, Mary the mother of God and St. Joseph the foster father of Jesus, as dear as these souls were to God, God did not spare them the hardship, the difficulty. And this should be a lesson for all of us. Sometimes, you know, we try to live a good life, we try to keep God's commandments and be God-fearing, and God visits us with difficulties and trials, and we wonder sometimes, why did this happen to us? No, we should just remember, God loves us. He knows what's best for us, and God's going to take care of us. This holy couple, Joseph and Mary, traveling this great distance, they did not allow the inconvenience, the difficulties to get the boast of them. No. They were living in holy anticipation. For thousands of years, the world awaited a Messiah. And now this event is about to take place. It doesn't matter. This is not important. The inconvenience of traveling, no problem. We also know, too, that when Joseph and Mary arrived in Bethlehem, obviously, there's other people there for the census as well. The town is booming with people. There's no room at the inn. They come in late at night. They're exhausted. They're tired. Knock on anybody's door, they're not going to answer. It's too late. All that they can do is have recourse to the common stable on the outskirts of Bethlehem. And you know, even that did not mark the peace and the joy and the happiness, the anticipation of what was about to happen. And that is once again a lesson for all of us. Sometimes we suffer, you know, privation. Things don't go our way. We might be struggling financially or whatever. Might have maybe some health issues or something like that. Let us remember to do our very best to trust in God. And no matter what God allows in our life, to have that peace and that happiness that the world cannot give us. You know, it's beautiful when we look at the words of the angels when our Lord was born. They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill." What is a man of goodwill? Men of goodwill are those who accept the will of God and try to fulfill the will of God in their life. And what does God give them? He gives them a peace of heart, a peace of mind, a peace of soul that the world cannot give. There are a lot of people in the world today who are very wealthy. They have everything they can imagine, and they're not happy. Because happiness is an inside job. And the things of this world, material things, cannot make us happy. We can have fun, but it'll make the inside happy. So let us be men of goodwill. Let us remember the importance of recognizing what God allows in our life is coming from the hand of God. And like Joseph and Mary, when they had to make this laborious journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, when they get to Bethlehem, there's no room except for a stable. They accepted that as this is the will of God. This is where God is trying to teach the world. Our Lord, at his very birth, is trying to teach us detachment from the things of this world. So we hope and pray all of you have a very blessed Christmas. Remember, as we've said, when we began the season of Advent, how commercialized, how secularized Christmas has become. Let us not forget what we're celebrating, the birth of the Son of God, this unique and singular event in the history of mankind. As we say, as we go back to the altar in the Creed, for us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.